Good morning, folks. We're just going to continue on in our series on in Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians. And have you ever talked with someone, maybe a friend, a family member, a salesperson, and knew when the person was talking to you that something wasn't quite right? Their actions and words didn't seem to line up, and maybe their actions and words were even questionable. Maybe they don't follow through with what they've said or promised. I remember when we lived in Chase quite a few years ago, we lived up on a hill, and the only way of getting to our house was through 30 stairs. And one day we had a salesman come to the door, a vacuum cleaner salesman, and he had walked up to the door and said that he'd like to demonstrate his vacuum. And we said, well, we weren't interested in buying a vacuum, but he insisted that he just wanted to show us. And we said, well, we're not going to buy a vacuum. Well, no, I just like to show you the vacuum. That's all I want to do. That's okay. So he packed his vacuum and all his stuff all the way up the 30 stairs and got up into our living room and showed us this vacuum. And it was a pretty nice vacuum. It was expensive, but it was pretty nice. But we weren't in a position to buy a vacuum, and we weren't going to. And so when he finished his presentation, we told him that it was a great vacuum, and but we weren't interested. And he was upset. He was really mad. And we reminded him that we had told him from the beginning that we weren't going to buy a vacuum. But that didn't matter. He was mad. His whole intention was selling us a vacuum, even though he said he just wanted to show it to us. And it doesn't happen a lot, though at times we have dealings with someone whose integrity is in question. It could be because their motives and methods or the means in which their things are happening. When this does happen, we know that the person's character is not above reproach at all. Last Sunday, we talked about the importance of letting our light shine through our works, labor, and endurance, which comes from our faith, love, and hope in Jesus. This week, we want to talk about our motives, methods, and means in the way we minister to others, in the way we let our light shine. Are we people who are above reproach when ministering, when we let our light shine to others? In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 1 to 12, Paul reveals what this should look like. So Paul starts out in verse 1 and 2 writing, "You know, brothers, that our visit to you was not a failure. We had previously suffered and been insulted in Philippi, as you know, but with the help of our God, we dared to tell you his gospel in spite of strong opposition." Paul says that he and his companions were mistreated in Philippi. In fact, they were brought before the courts, which ordered that they be stripped, beaten, and thrown into prison. You can read about that in Acts chapter 16, starting at verse 12. How we mentioned last week that as Paul and his companions arrived in Thessalonica, they ran into severe opposition. Yet we see this doesn't deter these men from proclaiming the gospel. They were willing to risk and share the truth about Jesus with the Thessalonians. Paul declares in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 16, "I'm compelled to preach. Woe to me if I do not preach the gospel." These men held to what Paul said he would do. They did not pick and choose who they would share their faith with. Oh, this is a little too difficult, so we won't share our faith with these folks. Or this is easy and we can do it here. They believed everyone had the right to hear the truth. We are all called to share the faith, love, and hope we have in Jesus with everyone, even when we find the circumstances not really favorable. We must not pick and choose who we share with. As Paul continues, he explains things they did not do as they shared their faith and ministered to the Thessalonians. He writes in verse 3, "For the appeal we make does not spring from error or impure motives, nor are we trying to trick you." He states that they had shared their message without error. In other words, it was true, correct, and not exaggerated. Paul is not a man who says, "Do as I say and not as I do," for he correctly handles the word of God, just as he exhorted Timothy to do. Also, they did not have impure motives when they shared their faith, love, and hope in Jesus with the Thessalonians. What Paul is saying is that they didn't have an underlying motive. They didn't have any false agendas with sharing their faith. Their whole purpose of sharing their faith was that people would come to believe in the kingdom. Along with this, Paul states that they're not trying to trick them into believing in Jesus. There's not some sort of a sleight of hand or trickery in words. There's not a play on words. It's the truth. And we read in verse 4 where Paul writes, "On the contrary, we speak as men approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel. We are not trying to please men, but God who tests our hearts." Paul's not trying to trick the Thessalonians, but sharing what God has placed in his heart, what God had approved him to do. Paul is saying is that he and his companions were above reproach when they shared their faith, love, and hope with the Thessalonians. We are all called and approved by God to share this incredible message of the gospel. What a privilege it is to be entrusted with the good news of the Father. Such an important message to be able to share it with others. Our message must be one of correctness, without error. It does not matter if we are sharing Bible verses or a story from our own journey of faith. We must make sure it is without error. We cannot take Bible verses out of context just to make them fit what we want to say. And it's important when we're telling our story that we don't exaggerate or embellish it. It needs to be correct, without error. What is our motive for sharing our faith, hope, and love in Jesus? It must be pure. We need to be genuinely concerned about the spiritual condition of the other person. It must be pure in the fact that the other person's not just a notch on our belt so we can say, "Oh yeah, check, we got that person saved, now we can move on to the next." Or it's not about, "Well, I just need to save 3 more people this week so everybody will think I'm really spiritual." Our motives must be pure. And we can't try to trick others into believing the truth. As Paul stated, it's not about pleasing man. It's not about sugarcoating the message, saying, well, really, it's not that. You don't really have to go that far. We need to share the whole truth. When we are sharing our faith, we must at all times be above reproach. We will all give an account to God for how we handle the gospel, which he entrusted to us. Paul goes on to proclaim how we should not handle the amazing responsibility of sharing our faith and ministering to others. In verses 5 to 6, we read, "You know we never used flattery, nor did we put a mask to cover up greed. God is our witness. We are not looking for praise from men, not from you or anyone else. As apostles of Christ, we could have been a burden to you." Paul states that flattery should never be used. If we are trying to reach people through flattery, they will see right through it. If they believe we are not sincere when we're talking with them about them, then there's a chance, probably a really good chance, that they will wonder about the truthfulness of the message we're sharing with them. Also, sharing the gospel for financial gain will eventually drive people away. If folks are thinking that the only reason we want to get them saved or the only reason we want them to come to church is so that we have more bodies in the pews to give money, and we're not really concerned about their spiritual well-being and about who they are as a person, they will be turned off. They will think, maybe it's all just a big scam to get money. If we are sharing the message of love, hope, and faith, which comes from Jesus, just so people will speak well of us, so they will pat us on the back, we must check our motives, because that is wrong. All these things, errors, impure motives, trickery, flattery, greed, and looking for praise from men, will all call our integrity into question. People will not see us as above reproach. Paul and his companions were above reproach. They did none of these things. On the contrary, as Paul records, "But we were gentle among you, like a mother caring for her little children. We loved you so much that we were delighted to share with you not only the gospel of God, but our lives as well, because you had become dear to us. Surely you remember, brothers, our toil and hardship. We worked night and day in order not to be a burden to anyone while we preached the gospel of God to you." Paul is saying, if we're going to reach others for the kingdom, if we're going to minister to people, we must treat them like a mother would treat her young child. The word picture which Paul is painting here is that of a nursing mother, one who is gentle, caring, and loving. This is quite a powerful picture. If we want to touch people for the kingdom, then we need to be like this toward them. We are to be gentle. And what does it really look like? Well, Isaiah too paints a word picture, a great one, when he's writing about the coming of the Lord. In Isaiah chapter 40, verse 11, "He tends his flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in his arms and carries them close to his heart. He gently leads those that have young. Gently is not forcing, but gathering and even carrying them if needed. It is holding them close to our hearts. They need to be important to us that we would care for them so deeply. Is that how we reach out to those around us with the wonderful message of Jesus? Gentle is not pushy, but compassionately sharing the story which Jesus has entrusted to us. It is sharing when needed and listening when necessary. Being gentle is explaining the story without being condemning. Gentleness is the fruit of the Spirit, which should always be evident in our lives. In Philippians chapter 4, verse 5, we are exhorted, "Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near." Paul also encourages us to care for others as a nursing mother would care for her children. As we are looking at reaching our community with the good news, what does it look like to be caring for them? Well, a mother caring for her young child would do anything for them. They feed them, bathe them, dress them, and hold them, to only mention a few things. She is there to care for them when they are doing well and when they are going through tough times. A mother cares for her child at all times. Paul said they were there like a mother caring for her children when they were among the Thessalonians. We need to be there to feed those spiritual truths, bathe them with living water, clothe them with truths of the Word of God, and hold them close and tight when they need it. We must be there for people in their deepest needs, no matter how messy that looks and no matter what it requires of us. When folks are on the mountain peak, we need to be there and rejoice with them and keeping them heading toward the Lord. Paul states that when he and his companions were with the Thessalonians, they loved them. They loved them so much that they not only shared the good news of the Lord with them, but they also shared their lives with them. I think this sort of goes back a bit to what we talked about last week when we were talking about our faith and deeds. They just seem to go together. We can share the good news, but we also need to share our lives with those who are we are ministering to. It's not good just to lead somebody to the Lord and then leave them on their own. We need to share our lives and walk along with them. They go hand in hand. Sharing our lives with others is really love in action. We are exhorted over and over in the Bible to love our neighbors and to love one another. As we are gentle, caring, loving to those around us, then we will be living above reproach. As children do not only have a mother, but a father too, Paul wants us to realize that we need to treat others as a father would his children. In verses 11 and 12, we read these things from Paul. "For we know that we dealt with each of you as a father deals with his own children. encouraging, comforting, and urging you to live lives worthy of God, who calls you into his kingdom and glory. Paul states that they encouraged, comfort, and urged the Thessalonians to grow in their faith. Isn't that what we want to hear from people? Isn't that how we want to be treated and how we want to treat others? We must encourage folks during the challenging times. They need to hear that there is a Heavenly Father who wants to walk with them through the valleys of life. He wants to be there in their darkest hour. He wants to hold them and hold them tight and close to his heart and whisper to them how much he loves them as they put their faith and trust in Jesus. We must encourage folks when things are going well. They need to see that those are blessings from the Father and that they shouldn't take them for granted, but to give praise to the Lord. We need to be the comforter in times of sorrow and grief, both with words and in our actions. We are to be there urging people to live their lives the Father has set before them. As we think of encouraging, comforting, and urging folks to live for the Lord, it needs to be done not just by words, not just by sharing the gospel, but also by sharing our lives with them. In these few verses, Paul has given us a lot to think about in how we are to minister to those we are come in contact with. We need to take time to meditate on these verses and ask the Lord, are there any areas which we need to grow in? As we continue to strive to be what Paul has laid out in these verses, we will be living above reproach. We will be able to say, as Paul did in verse 10, you are witnesses, and so is God, of how holy, righteous, and blameless we were among you who believed. And isn't that truly what we all want? We want to glorify God and live above reproach. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you again for the example of Paul and how he ministered and how he shared the gospel and how him and his companions were above reproach. Lord, our desire, our deepest desire is that those in our community would come to know you. They would know that Jesus died on the cross for them, and that they can have a Heavenly Father who loves them, who will hold them close. Father, encourage us and continue to help us to grow to be more like you, to live above reproach each and every day. We thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.